Hello and welcome to episode 77 of Must See Matches, the essentials of pro wrestling as nominated by you. I am Kieran Lefort and I am racing through this intro because we have a long match and a lot to talk about today. Joining me as always, the man behind Must See Matches, the returning traveller, Mark Buckledy. Mark, how's it going?
Yeah, I'm good. Getting over jet lag.
Tremendous. Also joining us, the man who's rapidly becoming our All Japan in the 90s correspondent as we talk about All Japan in the 90s again, Modge is back. Modge, how are you?
I'm all right. I have not travelled anywhere near as far as Mark here, because I've been to Cardiff, but it's not quite as good.
It's slightly different. Although apparently, according to some messages you sent me, there is a banging Japanese restaurant in Cardiff that we all need to try out.
It absolutely is.
Yeah. Not the ramen place.
Yes, the ramen place.
Oh, I'm on their email mailing list, mate.
See, and this man's been to Japan.
Yes, yes,
and he's on the mailing list of a ramen shop in a dodgy-ish suburb of Cardiff, run by a 45-year-old white male Cardiffian geek who just randomly got obsessed by ramen while eating at a generic kind of like ramen house that served shit. It's somewhere along the lines, like it's somewhere in the West Country. And he's like, he says something in an interview. It's like, oh yeah, I know what I at now is pretty poor, but then but at the time it blew my mind.
Hey, it's the same with wrestling. You know, the first wrestler you ever saw probably wasn't very good. It was probably someone shit on worldwide.
Was this the was this the Welsh suburb where I got egged? I wonder.
I don't know which Welsh suburb you get egged in.
near the prison was where I got egged.
No, exact other end of Cardiff.
Oh, okay.
Although this is Grangetown, which might get people shuddering a bit. No, the prison. There's a good restaurant at the prison run by prisoners called Clink.
Huh.
There is never a day where I regret pressing record on this show.
Until
there are days like today where I'm real glad that we are recording this for posterity. I was going to kind of like find a way to neatly segue, but I'll just outright say, Mark, how was your trip? Like, tell us about the good ramen. Tell us about the good wrestling. Tell us about all the fun you had.
Yeah, it was a very nice trip. In many ways, I designed it as a way of bringing back memories of previous trips. It was the same time of year as the first time I went to Japan. So put it this way, 20 to 25 degrees every single day Celsius. Mm-hmm. So lovely weather, not too wet. Found a cracking cafe/coffee shop, which was literally someone's house with a sliding barrier where he just had a coffee machine just in there where you could just walk up and he'll slide it open, do your coffee and then slide it back again and go
now,
back.
Now that is a man who doesn't pay taxes. There is no way the government knows about that place.
It's the Choco Pro of coffee shops.
And it's in a dead end. Literally, it's a dead end. There's no throughway on the thing. You've got to know it's there.
That's incredible.
Lots of random museums, such as the Tobacco and Salt Museum, because they were monopolies until the 90s in Japan, of all things.
Yeah. Because those two things go together, sure.
Yeah, the same company ran both.
Pass the salt and pepper. Oh, sorry, pass the salt and tobacco.
Yeah, so just...
This is like the background of a comic I read years ago. For some reason, the background of a comic, there's like a shop, and it's just called Cheese and Hats. And then in the windows, it's just drawings of Swiss cheese and hat boxes. Completely unconnected things.
I'm not joking. One of the few shops in the terminal when I was leaving at the airport was Books and Drugs. and it's like me and certain people who will remain nameless just decided to go into business.
Who is your bookie friend?
I'm not naming names. But it was a really nice trip. I did almost every one of the big Japanese gardens, which is why I have a ridiculous number of photos of dragonflies and turtles and all that shit.
Yes, I saw a thread of some nice wildlife photography.
Yeah. And in terms of the wrestling, which I imagine is what most people would be interested in.
Yeah, they're like, get through all this shit and just talk about some wrestling.
Yeah. So I went to two very good shows, one fantastic show, one decent show, and a slightly dodgy show, but it only cost me £8.
Please dedicate the rest of this podcast to talking about the dodgy show.
Well, it was in a outdoor amphitheater near the museums.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Carry on.
It was a four-match card where the main event included a knockoff NWO gimmick with Leighton Buzzard as part of the NWO faction.
Christ.
What else did it have? It had, so it was a four-match card, and it was clearly aimed at sort of like goofy family, that kind of wrestling.
Right.
But Daichi Hashimoto was so bad at it that two white tourists basically just fucked off during his match, because it was like, what is this shit? Why did we pay money? Let's spend our time doing something else.
I see Daichi Hashimoto matches, and I feel the same way.
So that was the Big Japan in Ueno. Sendai Girls was fun. For a show that where the main event had Punch Tominaga in it.
Oh, yeah.
The Dragon Gate show with the freeway with Punch Tominaga in it was in my top five matches of the trip.
I haven't seen this show yet. I really want to. I've heard nothing but great reviews about it.
The main event is amazing because it's one of those where you've got eight great workers and a shit one, but the shit, but everyone is behind the shit one, and he's putting a work effort in.
Oh, like Tower.
Yeah. Well,
this is going to annoy people.
What, who's worse, Punch Tominaga or Akira Taue? Now that's going to get me cancelled.
I don't know. I don't know if I've ever actually seen Punch Tominaga. I'm about 15 years behind on my Dragon Gate.
To be honest, although current Dragon Gate is quite good, 15 years behind isn't a bad place to be with Dragon Gate.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I stopped watching Dragon Gate literally. I watched a show that had Kevin Steen turn up, and I'm like, nope, he's turning up. Jack Evans is turning up. This promotion is clearly dead to me.
I wonder if you're like me. Kevin Steen is rubbish. Kevin Owens is great.
Exactly that.
Yeah. Funny that.
There's one outlier, which is Dave Mastiff and Kevin Steen.
The other highlight from the Dragon Gate show was Genki Horiguchi reviving his surfer gimmick.
Tremendous.
Coming out to Surfing USA as well, which suddenly everyone popped for.
Yeah, that was his original theme tune.
Yeah.
That was awesome. Fun. And the other two, the two better shows, Gate had Something of Everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when I say Something of Everything, it included a comedy hardcore match where one of the team had ramen-based weapons, including an inflatable club with barbed wire on it that somehow didn't pop itself, and a ramen spoon-covered board.
Okay.
Where people just got slammed onto these ceramic spoons, ceramic or plastic spoons, and they just kept shattering. So you had that. You had Great Sasuke getting Tower of Doomed onto a tent.
I remember seeing the little notes you put on Twitter. It's like, why is there a tent? And then two notes later, Great Sasuke just got suplexed into a tent.
Yeah, that was the answer. But yeah, the two matches that I definitely recommend from that show were El Linderman and Hayato Tamura versus Takuma and SBK, who were the two Dragon Gate lads that basically either got kicked out or quit. I don't know the details.
Yeah, it's murky.
They put an absolute shift in. That was a cracking high-energy match. And then T-Hawk had a really good performance against Shuji Ishikawa. And Shuji, for his age, put in a good shift as well. So that was two very good matches. And then we've got the, I'll be very brief, best show of the trip, best match of the year for me live, was the We Are Fighting Detectives show, which was Fuminori Abe and Takuya Nomura with a love letter to Battle Arts.
Oh, I have started that show, and by which I mean I've watched the first 5 minutes. I'm like, yeah, okay, this is bad, lads. I need to dedicate actual time to this, and I'm not falling asleep. And
it's very short. Like the whole show, including the interval, I think is under 2 hours.
Yeah,
yeah.
It is. I watched it. It's a good show.
Cool. I'm going to get on that, and now I'm going to be trying to spot you in the crowd. So all's well.
I spent the first match doing that, and then gave up and thought I'd just watch the wrestling. Like I see him every week.
Yeah, it had that mix of ex battle art guys that work for battle art style, and Brother Yashi.
Yes.
And Brother Yashi somehow added an awful lot more than you would expect Brother Yashi to add to this match, including Brother Yashi doing a ridiculous shoot headbutt that cut himself open.
Oh yes.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
I was really surprised when I saw him show up, but then I'm like, he started out in T2P. He was Stevie Brother Sugimoto. He knows how to do this.
Oh yeah. And there were four matches that I would call at least good or higher. And then you had the match with Keita Yano, which was brought down because his opponent was like, oh, my opponent is going to do nothing but grappling, so I'm not going to show any kind of selling or worry about any holds whatsoever. And it's like, that is a match that I would show to young wrestlers and say, you see what he's doing? Don't fucking do it. And the main event, was excellent for a live match. It was exactly what I hoped it would be. I kind of based the trip around that show, and the match delivered. Which was great because I got there an hour early for the show because I thought the show was starting at 6. It was actually starting at 7.
Did they not invite you in for like a cup of tea and like to watch the ring get the
chip? No. It was a case of you got your ticket, which I panicked because I couldn't find my fucking ticket.
Where was it to?
Shinjuku Face.
Oh, it's Shinjuku Face. Okay.
Did they make you buy a drink ticket as well?
Yes, they still do that. Yes.
Right. And every time I've been to Shinjuku Face, it's, I don't know, 4,000 yen for your ticket, and then it's an extra 500 yen charge appears before they let you in, and you have to buy a drinks ticket.
Yeah, no, it's got a worse version of the Oberhausen method, because the thing with the Oberhausen method, if you drink non-alcoholic drinks, you get two or three drinks worth for your mandatory drink tickets. Whereas,
that makes sense.
This is per glass.
this is basically 500 yen for one drink. So I ended up having the most expensive bottle of iced green tea for the whole trip.
Damn right.
The other thing about Shinjuku Face, more urinals per seat than any other venue I've ever visited.
What, one under each?
So such a weird... There's like a small sub door, which is just another corridor of urinals. It's just such a weird bathroom.
Yeah. Incredible.
That is weird. No, Shinjuku Face, the building, isn't it like kind of on the cusp of Shinjuku and like Kabukicho?
Yes.
It's in Kabukicho. It is actually in Kabukicho.
It's okay.
Is it the seventh floor of a building called the Humax Pavilion?
Yes.
Yes. Is this building in the Yakuza games?
Yes. At least one of them, yes.
They have actually updated the area because there's tall buildings near it that I don't remember.
Because I remember because I was looking at, real-life comparisons between the games and the area because that's the kind of person I am. And it showed on, like, Google Maps, Shinjuku Face. And I'm like, hang on, this might be represented in the game. And I've been trying to work this out for about a year and haven't got a real answer to it. So
I'm pretty sure it is. I'm pretty sure. I cannot remember which one because there are so many of them and I can never remember which ones I've played, but I'm pretty sure there are scenes outside their version of Shinjuku Face.
Yes. Oh, very cool. I'm going to have to have a look. I know their version of Osaka has like an Osaka Pro-esque wrestling shop.
Tremendous. We got off topic. I'm glad you had a good trip.
We have, we also have a 51-minute match to cover.
Yeah, we do. Anything else before we actually get into the match we're going to talk about?
Shall we just very quickly talk about a couple of stats? This is our last match at Corican Hall.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. I haven't actually said what the match is yet. So the match is from All Japan Pro Wrestling Fan Appreciation Day, April the 20th, 1991. It is Mitsuhara Misawa, Toshiaki Kawada, and Kenta Kobashi versus Akira Taue, Masanobu Fuchi, and Jumbo Tsuruta, the four pillars and a couple of supporting columns. It is our Is it our last six man as well?
Yeah, it's our last six man. I think we only did two.
I think we only did two as well. The other one being the mad Toriumon one.
Yeah.
No, well, oh, no. Well, does that count? No. So there's the Dragon Gate one, there's the Toriumon four-way, and this.
Yeah. So, yeah. So this is our last Korakuen match. So Korakuen, Modge. Yeah. 11% of nominated matches took place in Korakuen.
Wow. It's the place to be, isn't it?
It sure is.
118. Yeah, it's just ridiculous. We're also halfway for All Japan. This is our 6th of 11. And let's just give some quick stats on matches for the competitors. So we've got Masanobu Fuchi. It's his only appearance on the podcast. Four total nominations. We've got Akira Taue. This is his first of two appearances. 10 nominations. This is the second of three appearances for one Jumbo Tsuruta, who had 12 total. This is the second of four for Kawada. Nah, I can't say his name. Toshiaki just Kawada.
Pick one and go with it.
Kawada.
Kawada. Yeah.
Toshiaki Kawada, second of four, 19 nominations.
19?
Yeah.
Holy shit, I didn't realize it was that many.
For Kawada. Misawa had 22, and this is his third of seven. And then you've got Kenta. Yes, I'm good at this shit, Kobashi. 29 nominations.
Yeah.
And it's his fourth of nine appearances. So we're nearly at the last quarter, and he has five matches out of, like, good that Lord. Last quarter to come.
This is also the first match of a new percentage bracket. 9.82% of people responding to Mark's survey nominated this match. So not quite 10%. Almost a whole person per 10 people nominated this match.
Yeah.
Modge, we've got you on as the de facto expert here.
Yeah.
I would presume... We get, as we say, we get parachuted in to watch these just as standalone matches. But yeah. I'm guessing there's a lot of story going into this.
Not as much with the okay. The stories are fairly obvious in the sense of this is a fan appreciation day. Right.
Yeah.
Like you said, this is Korakuen. So what they've done is they price every ticket in the hall at 3,000 yen.
Yes, I have been to one of these, or have I? No, I've been to the DDT version, yeah, where all the tickets were 3,000 yen because they were running on January 3rd. Yes, sorry, carry on. Ah,
there you go. They would do fan appreciation day starting in, I believe, 76, which weren't matches as such. It was a glorified meet and greet so people could shake the hands of the destroyer and fondle the cock of Baba and whatever else. So. This happened. This was like an annual thing.
That's a lot of fondling.
You all right over there?
You carry on. You just carry on.
It's better if you don't react to the things I say.
It's not. It really isn't.
I could have done that the other way around. Anyway, so they stopped it in the early to mid 80s, partially because the last one only drew 2,000 people, when the ones in the 70s draw in like 9,000. Also because the All Japan in the 80s is all about, at this point, vicious hatred between Riki Shoshu's invading army and the regulars, and a nice day where everyone is like nice and like appreciates the fans and it's all lovely and heartwarming didn't quite fit with the style of the time. And then as you go through the 80s, you've got basically All Japan being about giant gaijin battering each other and brawling through the crowd, and also giant ex-sumos turning up and battering each other and brawling through the crowd and having double countouts. And Tenryu turns up, a giant man battering people, and it's not a pro wrestling promotion you take your family to in the 80s. No. This changes because they've got a new edict of happy, fun, lovely pro wrestling in the early in like 1990 turning into.
Did someone tell Coward of that?
No. Hatred. No, yeah, that's we'll get what to I that. Mean. Yeah, we're going to get to this because, you know, you're allowed to do this in the ring, but there's a marked reduction in the amount of arena wide brawling.
Yeah.
In the content, and it's the whole thing, you know, clean finishes, 2.9 counts, etc. And so, like I said, Fan Appreciation Day, you've got New Japan selling, charging 10 grand for tickets, and All Japan charging generally half that. But then, like I said, Fan Appreciation Day, even cheaper. You've also got the wrestlers are being kind of promoted as idols. If you think of it like an idol wrestling promotion, All Japan is one of the last promotions you may think of.
They are not necessarily like models, are they? The main event of All Japan.
Well,
not in, let's say, like a Dragon Gateway or All Japan Women Way, for example, got into the 90s.
But you say that. Lots of people, apparently Kobashi wasn't quite the handsome man at that time.
I've mentioned it before. He is, of the pillars, he is the one who I say looks most like a star, I would think.
Yeah. The year before, you know, the Wrestle Dream show with All Japan and not AEW, the All Japan and WWF kind of in the Tokyo Dome thing they did.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Weekly Pro, the magazine, was going to dedicate 16 pages of their magazine to that show. In the interim, SWS happened, everything went to shit.
Yes.
Right. So you've got, and then it was further taken to shit, whereby they did they took out an ad in the magazine to advertise this event. But what they did is, in the proofreading process, they dropped the ad copy at the top of the screen. So it dropped down, so the word dream completely obscures Tenryu's face. And
that's marvelously petty.
No, it was a legitimate mistake.
Right.
Because they even showed them the original copy to try and smooth it over. It's like, no, it was meant to look like this. Our typeset is fucked up. And so you've got text on the screen. It wasn't meant as a slight. And so they went, nope. We don't believe you. We're pulling. You're not allowed to interview any of our people. You're not allowed to cover our shows. Fuck off. So that happened. So they've got 16 full color pages that they have to fill.
Mm-hmm.
So they choose half of them to be filled by basically interviews and beautiful glamour shots of Kenta Kobashi.
Huh.
So that's the level of like making Japanese girls wet he was at the time.
Yeah.
Mitsuharu Misawa, for his part, there was a contest where women could apply to go on a holiday with Misawa in 1991. And you're laughing because I've sent you the pictures.
Yes. Yes.
There's 26, I believe, Japanese women that go on a holiday with Misawa to Hawaii for a week or so of what I'm assuming is constant green-tinged sex.
Jesus,
this is the real
Christ.
Tiger Driver, ladies.
Yeah.
Fucking hell.
I'll emerald your frozen. But,
fuck's sake.
Yeah.
There is an excellent photo of Misawa winking at somebody off. It's like a close up of his face on the beach, and he's winking to like one side. Mm. And the caption is a bunch of Japanese and then English, just the word wink in capital letters.
Yes. Yes. Like, this is the first time this man has ever winked.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. And there's women just draping themselves all over him, and he's on the beach, like, you know, tanning himself. And on the way home, there's all these women in Narita Airport crying because they have to leave Misawa, and Misawa stood there like slightly confused why they're all crying over him, because as far as he's concerned, these women have just spent like a week in paradise.
I will share these when this goes out. It's a bizarre concept.
It's really, really bizarre. But the thing is, do you know that they did this in Ricky Morton did this in 1986?
I was just thinking that. I'm sure I've heard of this happening with the Rock and Roll Express. Yeah.
Yeah. The difference with the Rock and Roll Express is that most of the girls were about 13.
Moving swiftly on. I'm looking, I don't know how much All Japan really appreciate their fans, because the rest of this card looks like shit. The semi-main event is the one that got me. It's Dan Spivey, Stan Hansen, yay, versus Cactus Jack, yay, and a man who would go on to be one half of one of the worst tag teams I've ever seen in my life. He's Texas Terminator Hoss here, but he's better known as one half of the Colossal Kongs in WCW.
Oh, wow.
And the rest, like, maybe the Can-Ams versus Dynamite Kid and Johnny Smith was good, but I don't think anything else on this undercard was any good at all.
Considering you've got four singles matches, and in those singles matches slots, you've got Mitsuru Momota, Richard Slinger, Haruka Eigen, and Rusha Kimura in your single slots.
Yeah.
And those four are not in the same match together.
No. Yeah.
It's what like, is the whole show available somewhere? I need to watch this because I reckon it's better than it sounds.
Sure.
I'll let you think that.
It sounds.
You can take that bullet for us, mate.
I'll report back.
I, of course, being the Mr. All Japan blank spot, I'd never seen this before. I'm assuming because you eagerly accepted the invitation to come on the show, Mod, you had seen this before.
I had seen this before a while back, and half of it was an excuse to watch it again and see if it was a match I remembered seeing.
Sure.
It was. Good. I'm very happy about this.
Mark, had you seen this before?
I had not seen this before. This is a match where it's like, I knew how long it went, so that kind of
you did
pushed
tend
me
to
off.
Shy away from watching old, long matches.
Yes, I do that. Also, to put a peek behind the curtain, this is the what match that we've covered the most that I have tried to watch and had to stop more than any other, because every time I tried to start, I had jet lag, and it's like, yes, I'm not going. To the extent
it's official, Tawei puts people to sleep.
My first watch, I watched it, I had a good time, and then like the next day, I was like, what the fuck was the finish to that match? I literally did not know what happened in the last 5 minutes because I was on this, have to keep watching. I'm not saying it is shite. I'm just saying I was really fucking tired.
We are in a packed Corican Hall. The crowd are red hot from the very start.
Yeah. They love their Masanobu Fuchi.
They do. At points, they do. Throughout the match, everybody gets their name chanted.
Yeah.
Apart from Jumbo.
Yes. But they do the O's.
Yeah, he gets a lot of O's.
Yeah. Tawei's hair is a sight to behold. It has been punch-permed to within an inch of its life. And I thought this was quite smart as an All Japan wrestler that he would have a cushion fashioned on the top of his head. This is going to protect him throughout the next 51 minutes.
Yes.
Giant Bubba is on comms in his lovely red Grandan cardigan.
Oh, his red cardigan is the best thing about the match.
Yep, I called him Cardi B, ABA.
It's identical to the cardigans that my primary school made the girls wear. It's the same colour.
Which must have brought back some confusing memories for you.
It's the colour, it's the same size. This is my primary school, and I would have been at primary school when this match was going on. So...
Yeah,
so it's a very bizarre thing.
Just like a Japanese version of my granddad.
It is. It's a proper kind of like, you know, it looked like it buttoned up because it was so wide at the top.
Of course, he's got a collared shirt on underneath it. He looked in good spirits. He looked very happy, like in the close-up they show of him when they start the comms at the beginning. He's all smiling and having fun.
Well, he's just sold out the venue. I'd be happy.
I bet, yeah. Yes.
It's Karakua, mind you.
Yeah, he's, well... What's 2,100 times 3,000? You know, he's probably done all right.
Yeah.
I imagine the merch tables have been stripped bare as well. The crowd want Kawada to start, but it's Kobashi versus Tawei up first. But Tawei marches over and slaps Kawada off the apron anyway, and Kobashi has to hold his partner back and calm him down.
this was only a couple of months, I think, after the infamous Kawada versus Tawei bloodbath match, I think.
Yes.
And this is the kind of story I was digging for. Tell me more. What is this infamous match I've never heard of?
So Tawei was originally part of the Super Generation Army, which is the unit with Kobashi, Misawa, Kikuchi and Kawada. I keep forgetting Kawada
the
for
baby
some reason.
Faces, essentially.
Yeah, they were the young baby faces.
They're the new blood.
And on the other side, you had Jumbo with him and Fuchi, and I believe it was Yoshiaki Yatsu, I believe, was his was his second. But the problem is Yatsu basically left All Japan, so that stable was down. And
we covered this before when we talked about the Tenryu matches, didn't we?
Yeah.
Yes.
And what happened was Jumbo needed someone, and there was an opportunity, and Taue saw that he was not going to become the number two guy in his group because Kawada was in the way.
Yeah.
So he left to join Jumbo.
Yes.
Because he knew that he had a better chance of getting higher up the ladder.
Sure.
And
this explains why we have three pillars on one side and one on the other.
And this,
I've been wondering both times I watched this match.
And this also adds to a sense of tension, because throughout the match you can see that the Super Generation Army have an issue with Taue because he's essentially defected. And I believe it was January 1991 where there was a match between Taue and Kawada. And it basically, I can't remember who it was, but someone was busted open and bleeding quite heavily. And that's not something you see a lot in 90s All Japan. It was more of an 80s All Japan thing.
No, it's a holdover from the 80s period. And I believe it was Kawada that got busted open. He couldn't make it to the back under his own power after the match.
Jesus.
So Kobashi tries to get a bit of revenge for his friend, but takes a sumo rush lariat, and then Taue turns and lariats Kawada off the apron into the barrier. And he sells this on the floor for a long time, like holding the back of his head. Misawa actually shows like concern for another human being and gets down off the apron to like for 20 seconds. The heat for the first Misawa Jumbo face off is massive.
Oh yeah.
So Misawa pinning Jumbo for the first time happened less than a year before this, didn't it? The heels beat up on Misawa until he's able to reverse an abdominal stretch from Fuchi and get his own on. And I loved how Taue treated breaking it up as a minor detour on the way to blasting Kawada back off the apron again.
Like
10 seconds after he's got back up.
There's a lot of lovely things about this, just running through it, just the interaction between everybody. But it's all about Kawada and Taue because they hate each other.
Yes. Yeah.
While everyone has got an issue with Taue, as you said, because he defected, Kawada's taken this very, very personally.
Yeah. We get the return of Lucha Misawa with, I thought, an astonishing, like, turning spring off the middle turnbuckle. And I mean turnbuckle and not ropes. He's got both feet, like, perfectly together, bouncing off that giant turnbuckle pad. And he twists around into, like, I think of it as, I don't know if I'm even picking the right luchador. I think of it as a super Astro move, like a diving headbutt to a running opponent.
I think, in fairness, that's meant to be a crossbody.
Well, okay, sure.
It was a flying headbutt. I know exactly the move you're thinking of.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure it's called on commentary as a crossbody.
Because no bodies were crossed. Head hit head.
No, I actually
wrote down what the commentator says. He calls it diving head attack.
Does he?
Yes.
I completely misheard that then. That was just me being an idiot. You carry on.
Yeah. Kobashi runs wild on Jumbo for a bit, but the vet is too crafty and quickly gets his team the advantage back, and they wreck Kobashi's left arm.
What I love is there is a... So a couple of times Jumbo does this scoop slam, and he has the best testy, I'm pissed off and I hate you scoop slam I've ever seen. It's just pure petty vindictiveness.
Yeah.
Eventually, when Taue gets the Jujigatame on, Kawada just calmly walks in and starts kicking him as hard as he can.
Yeah.
And this is
it's
so
not calm. There's hatred on his face.
There's hatred on his face, but he's not in a rush to get over there. He just walks, saunters over, and then just blasts him.
Yeah, I described it as having the biggest, his biggest, this prick ate the last donut expression.
There is a lot of fuck you, mate, in this match.
I think
going both ways. Taue releases the hold, attacks him from behind, he's making his way back out, and their brawl comes off for a minute like it's all broken down. With Kawada tackling Tawei and getting 20-something headbutts on him.
Yeah.
It looks for all the world like he's trying to split him open for real, which makes sense now I know about this other match. And the detail I like was the ref even calls the rest of Tawei's team in to try and break them up.
Yeah.
Cut to a bunch of women in the crowd cheering and chanting for Kawada. Cut back to him stomping on Tawei's head like he's trying to pop the last balloon at a wedding reception.
There are some very horrible stomps all the way through this match where someone's kind of lying on their side.
Yes.
And they get stomped on the side of the head.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not the fact that it's the fact that it like bends their neck down as well.
Yes. Oh. Yeah. It's pretty gross.
Yeah. It's very big mouth loud.
Yeah. Mm. The team I have called the Babyfaces take over on Tawei. Lovely detail at the start of this. Misawa, Kobashi and the ref subtly conspire to keep Kawada out of the ring and away from Tawei. For the first couple of tags anyway. But when he does tag in, the crowd fire up even more and he's lighting into Tawei with chops. If Cactus Jack stole the double arm DDT from Kobashi, then Undertaker definitely robbed his running flying DDT from Tawei.
He did, didn't he?
Yeah.
Oh, it's
like,
lovely.
He's in midair and I can just like picture like the hat and the gloves and the boot things appearing on him in a freeze frame before he hits the move.
Yeah, because Taker does it in a very idiosyncratic way.
Yes.
Which happens to be identical to how Tawei does his running one here.
Yeah. this is where it kind of becomes apparent that they're going to be going after his neck and head. So there's this DDT from Tawei. Jumbo pile drives Kawada on the floor. Fuchi hangs him out to dry on the top rope.
Yeah.
I did notice another small detail. Tawei is the only one he tries to fight back against. And I don't mean try. It's more like, I'm a professional wrestler and I will take this shit from the veterans, but this motherfucker, I am not taking it from you.
I'm not, it's like the hatred is flowing through him and he has more energy to fight back against Tawei.
Yes.
Because it matters more to him.
Another great bit I loved is Kawada gets chucked back out to the floor and Fuchi demands the ref watch him get a legal tag from Tawei before dropping off the apron and spike pile driving him on the floor.
We'll probably get into this a little later, but Fuchi is just a massive little prick.
Oh, he's so good.
Yes, he is.
And I love it.
He's so entertaining in this match.
This is not even the best Fuchi performance in the sense of him doing that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen him do more hilariously evil stuff in other matches, but he's so fun in this.
He's a fabulous asshole.
And what is so fun is that at times it's like he'll do this shit and then the crowd are chanting for Fuchi 5 seconds later.
Yes.
Or the other way around.
Because they're appreciating all his like undervalued, undercard junior stuff that nobody in All Japan cares about. Because bear in mind, he's a junior and you can tell by the way his stuff has significantly less impact than everyone else's. And people sell it a lot less. Unless he does something sneaky and assholish.
So Jumbo put some real sauce on a sleeper, including a hand over the eyes rather than on the forehead.
Oh, that sleeper is fantastic.
Yeah. And this prompts Misawa to finally do something about it. Tawei clotheslines Kawada over the railing into the front row, into probably the only two empty seats in the building. I couldn't tell how quickly they were vacated or if they were just vacant. He tries the Samoan drop, doesn't put him away. Kawada reverses a whip into a spinning back kick and hot tags Kobashi, who is a drop kick and shoulder block machine, flying all over the place. Before I said hotter tagging Misawa. Jumbo gets booed very loudly for breaking up a pin.
Lots of people do. It's like almost every breakup of a pin the crowd boo.
Most of the breakups are on the quote-unquote heel side. They're the ones doing the breaking up. And this is a crowd that I think doesn't appreciate unsportsmanlike behavior.
Yes.
Yeah. There's a lot of that in other All Japan shows of this period. Tawei isn't liked by the fans, because the knowledgeable ones think he's being pushed too much. And kind of like cheating his way up the ladder. Also, he's not as strong a worker as the others.
Right.
But what he does do is he's got that thing where you do the scoop slam. I don't think he does it in this. Where you do the scoop slam, but you neck them on the top rope instead.
Yeah, Fuji did it earlier.
Fuji does it, but yeah. it was a Toei staple for a good amount of time.
Yes.
And other kind of choking stuff, standing on the neck, that kind of thing.
Yes.
And basically shortcuts, and the crowd just get on his case every time he does it. There's just hatred, there's booing.
If you're the only heel in a promotion full of baby faces, you're going to stand out, particularly if you're not as good a worker traditionally as the other guys. It's something to make you special.
Yeah, he's taking his shortcuts, and the people don't like that he's taking his shortcuts. It's absolutely fantastic. This is the rare All Japan match of the 90s where you've got fairly... I know you've got people doing clap, 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 Fuji, and Jumbo gets his cheers, and everyone gets appreciated by the fans, but there's a very clear heel and face line here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There is a great moment where Misawa is setting up for a tiger driver on Fuji, and Toei lariats him out of his boots, and Fuji very leisurely just rolls over him into a jackknife clutch for a near fall.
Yes.
Almost with the air of, I did this entirely by myself.
Look what I did.
Yeah. Misawa does his rope flip dive fake out and then goes back the other way, and just as Jumbo thinks he's safe on the floor, Kobashi comes steaming in and squashes him with a plancher.
Yep.
Lovely.
That's almost Dragon Gate or Michinoku Pro level of misdirection, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. Some guy's 100 pounds heavier than that.
Yeah. Saruta tries to cover up and block what have become called the Kawada kicks, where he's holding the back of the head and repeatedly kicking him in the face. So Jumbo's got a hand up to try and block this, and looks legitimately angry for a second when one of them gets through and he takes it right on the bridge of the nose. One of the things I liked about this match a lot was the camera work. There are a lot of close-ups of faces at important moments.
How was the white balance, Kieran?
Perfect. I did notice there seemed to be a lot of cameras covering this. There were all the places you normally think of in Korakuen Hall, and then they had a platform on the... each on the east and west side, and they had at least one, possibly two, like isometric balcony cameras.
Yeah.
And so they were covering this all over. There were also a lot more crowd shots than I was expecting.
Yeah. I was noticed because they go back to the same shots of some fairly hot girls.
You mentioned before how like this had kind of become like a Chunky Idol promotion. And I noticed in the wide shots of the crowd, these are not your traditional wrestling nerds. Like, these are young, good-looking, affluent people of Tokyo. These are exactly the kind of demographic that any wrestling promotion wants at their shows. And whenever they show closer shots of the crowd, like two shots and close-ups, it is quite often attractive women in their 20s and 30s going nuts for Super Generation Army.
That's absolutely what they're going for. Like I said, you really, really do not think of All Japan as this idol promotion,
not remotely,
basing their stuff on sex appeal.
No,
but it's the but they absolutely go all out on this.
And it's
weird, but it's undeniably there. It changes what you think of the promotion completely on its head.
Yeah.
This is why, you know how every so often when Noah and Mitsuharu Misawa himself was a going concern, you'd have like them turning up on shows singing in like, you know, Misawa in like a bright green suit and Kawada in a bright yellow suit and all that stuff.
Yes.
That's the lingering remnants of this era.
Yeah. 10 years too late.
And the annual Noah Christmas shows with the really weird skits.
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. It's all
Vader
that.
Trying to sing Christmas carols.
Oh fuck.
Yeah. It's all part of this same. I don't think I've ever seen the Vader Christmas carols. I need to find this.
Next show, must see non-wrestling moments from wrestling. And it's got to have Noah Christmas shows in it. So, back to this match. The crowd think Kawada has it when he reverses a Jumbo lariat into the Wakigatame as Kobashi tries to ward off Fuji, but Jumbo makes the ropes. Kobashi has Taue in a Boston Crab in a neutral corner, Jumbo goes to the other neutral corner and sprints over to break out with the lariat, but Kobashi springs out of his holes and clatters him with one instead, and then takes Fuji off the apron just for good measure. The crowd love. I love that. That's a brilliant spot.
Oh, there's so many brilliant spots. And what I really love about this match is throughout the match, it's a 51-minute match, throughout the match, they are going to try and win. There's a sense of, we're trying to put you away, that I don't think you get a lot of in like more modern long matches, and really works. And that some of the simple stuff just works incredibly well. Like there was a spot where Jumbo just blocks a kick and just pushes Cowder over.
And just grabs him by the chin and pushes him down, doesn't he?
And but it's this sheer sense of pettiness. And I'm gonna praise Jumbo here. He is such a good surly veteran who's sees that these are the guys going to take his spot, and he's having flipping none of it. And he's just going to bully them and push them around and twat them with lariats and do whatever he can.
Yeah. We are entering the section where I didn't take a lot of notes. It is Taue gets his ass kicked for no joke, 10 full minutes.
Is this him getting his knee completely destroyed, or is that somebody else?
That's somebody else later on.
Despite
him being a prick the whole match, the crowd start chanting his name, though, and then boo when Jumbo saves him from a clover leaf and an octopus hold. In between these holds, Kawada takes Taue into the crowd and just slams him on the bare floor. Kawada gets a big reaction for just flipping off Fucci.
Yeah.
Because not a big thing in Japan.
We also get the Kawada School of Chiropractic, which is just Kawada kicking the shit out of Taue's spine on the floor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, while he's on the floor, Misawa and Kobashi combine to hit him with the fucking rocket launcher, the Midnight Express's finish, off the top rope to the floor.
I was waiting for that. Yeah. That's incredibly nuts.
So, watching it first time, I'm like, wow, that's amazing. Watching it second time, I'm like, hang on. Kobashi is doing all the fucking work here. He is hurling himself off the top rope to the floor, and Misawa is just standing there and pretending to push him. He was like, it was proper like stolen valor, and like, you know, yeah, I was on, but like putting the team shirt on as you run onto the pitch, even though you are just a fan, like trying to get involved and trying to take some of this glory.
This is not going to make any sense to you, because I know you're not a football guy, but he's very John Terry.
I was going to say it's a John Terry moment.
That's who I was thinking of. That is actually who I was thinking of. I just didn't know his name. Yes.
John Terry, the worst human in existence.
30 minutes have elapsed. After 10 full minutes of Taue getting his ass kicked, Fucci has finally had enough and becomes the biggest heel in Korakuen, because Kobashi is going for a suplex and Fucci puts all his weight into just drop kicking one of his legs out from underneath him.
Yes.
Yeah. This is a related digression. I love a low drop kick.
Yeah.
It's my favorite thing. I like late period Muto a lot more than everyone, because 90% of his offense is drop kicks to the knee.
Steve Malenko in WCW Revenge.
Yeah, and if you hit it at the right time, they do it like his leg's been taken out from under him and they collapse in writhing agony.
Yes.
And that's what you want.
Yeah.
And James Tai once did a low drop kick in a hall in Bristol for All Star, and I was literally the only person in the crowd of about 100 to just cheer like a wild man, because I was a giant fan of Ty at the time anyway, and he did a low drop kick.
Incredible. So it's Kobashi's turn for a beating now.
Fucci literally single-handedly turned this match around for his team. He turned it around, and what I appreciate is, after a 10-minute workover period on Taue, the workover period on Kobashi is so different in terms of style and execution. They did a really good job of sort of separating the two out.
Yeah, it doesn't get boring because there's such variance.
Jumbo is very happy to be booed for stamping all over Kobashi's leg. Fucci just goes and gets a chair and starts working the knee over with that. This is why Kobashi needed both his knees done. This and the moonsaults, and packing too much weight onto his frame, and this match.
This is 1991, and he's already got a gigantic honking knee brace on one of his knees.
Yeah.
So they attack the other one.
Yes, they do.
Well, that well, the first one already hurts. Might as well hurt
it's
both
what
of them.
It's what you do. Yeah. Let's completely cripple this man for life.
Yeah. There is a moment where Taue hits a top rope elbow drop on Kobashi's leg. And because Fuchi is blocking the camera shot, it looks like he then twists Kobashi's leg so far, he points the flat of his boot up towards his chin. Because you can't see Kobashi turning on the mat.
Yeah.
Shortly after the 40-minute call, when it seems all hope is lost, Kobashi elbows Fuchi in the back of the head and makes what I can only call a surprise tag to Kawada.
Yeah.
It's one move, tag out. There is no struggle for it. It's, oh, I am in reach. And, like, I don't even know Kawada knew it was coming.
And yet the crowd lost their shit.
Yeah.
For Kawada coming in.
Yeah. That hope doesn't last long, though, as Misawa tags in and the heels beat him up, too.
Yeah. The heels absolutely do control him.
Yeah. He manages to kick out of Jumbo's jumping knee and folding powerbomb and then get his foot on the ropes from a sort of back suplex flying chokeslam double team that isn't half as cool as I've made it sound.
Yeah. This Taue at some point does a very cool reverse chokeslam.
Yeah.
Yes.
I first heard of that move being done by a Welsh wrestler, of all people. A guy called Cayman, of all things, from Celtic Wrestling Association.
Oh, yes, he did do that. I did entirely too many of his shows. I like Cayman. He was a nice bloke and not terrible, which is the best you can say.
Which is
about
a rarity in wrestling. You're either one or the other.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Misawa wallops Taue with a spinning kick that made a sound that made me go, oh, fuck, and hits the Tiger Driver, but Taue kicks out. Kobashi seemingly gets tagged in just to do the moonsault, do a two count, and then tag straight back out again.
Yeah. We're not far off, by the way, in the sense of this is shortly after the first ever Tiger Driver 91.
Right.
Hit by Misawa on Taue.
Oh, I see. So maybe the crowd were hoping for that again.
I reckon so. I reckon they're hoping for a repeat.
I see. Taue turns the tables with the choke slam on Misawa, but that doesn't get the win either as Kawada breaks it up. And as Kobashi and Fuchi fight to the floor, Taue pulls Misawa up by the hair and turns to his corner. And Kawada sees his opportunity and smashes him in the back of the head with a lariat. Karmic retribution in pro wrestling.
Yeah. And Jumbo is so incensed by that, he immediately rushes.
Yes. Yes, he tackles Kawada out of the ring, and Misawa wraps Taue up in the Tiger Suplex for the pin, and the crowd explodes.
Yeah, the crowd explode for the pin. They also explode. There's a realization when everyone gets cleared out by others, and there's a realization that this match could end.
Yes.
Because they're there. It's just those two in the ring. There's an opportunity for a big move and everyone else is occupied, so it's not going to get broken up.
Yeah.
And the crowd can sense it. And you know something cool is coming because of the buzz.
The crowd loved it so much, they chanted Gekito afterwards, which means fierce battle.
Awesome.
Yeah. Timer on the screen says 51:32, but there was either some clipping or it was the apprentice timekeeper's day because only 47 minutes have elapsed by my media players count.
I would say that from some of the time calls during the match, there was a little bit of clipping. I couldn't see where it came from.
I think it's early on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
So the crowd, as the time calls went on, the crowd kind of got more and more excited by it. Am I right in thinking like going over 50 minutes was a big deal and part of the story?
Yes. I think it's also you've got a deal where are we going to get a finish here or is it going to be a draw and they're all going to shake hands and be nice?
Yes. Yes. And no, there's no way these people were going to shake hands and be nice. It might have been a draw.
No,
but
no, but you're saying, okay, fair enough. I respect you, you know, book a man or whatever. Yeah. And but then the fact that they managed to pull out a finish in the closing stretch of it, if you know what I mean, the last 10 minutes, surprised and delighted everybody.
Sure. I am actually going to go first here because I presume I'm going to be the low man on this match.
Mm-hmm.
There's lots of it I really do like. I love the Kawada Taue story thread is great. I love the book ending of the match with it, like a sneaky lariat starts it, a sneaky lariat finishes it.
Oh yeah.
The pace of this thing for six heavy bastards going 50 minutes is nuts. It is
five heavy bastards in Fuchu.
fine. But as far as juniors go, All Japan juniors are bigger than what we think of junior heavyweights now.
Yeah.
But you still only watch
Fuchi is bigger than Jushin Liger, you know?
Yeah, I get you.
Tons of the moves and the cut-offs and the escalation of this I really liked as well. Mm-hmm. I could have happily lost half an hour in the middle.
Yeah. That's the house style of All Japan tags.
Yeah.
Baba would start hot, bring it down, and he liked escalation as opposed to repetition.
Yeah.
Hmm. So if you get a move, if you get a two count off a move, it shouldn't, the same move should not be used again as part of the finish.
Sure.
Or really another two count.
Sure.
This is why everyone develops different, for example, Masaru's got different elbow strikes and different ways of putting on moves and submissions and so on and so forth.
Sure.
And that's the case for everyone. So that's a limitation of the house style, but it's what Baba kind of like insisted on.
Yeah. I am sure I will get castigated in some corners of the internet. And I think a lot of this is my kind of All Japan blockage. I don't know for me if this is must-see. I think there's a lot of very good stuff in it, but it's... And it may be because I am more used to watching a lot more Western tags, but there is a bit like 20 minutes in where Misawa gets a hot tag and I'm like, this is naturally where I would think to take this home. Mm. And then there are two different 10-minute beatdown periods and then another 10 minutes of the match.
Yeah, I guess the deal with the match is if you think that the story surrounding it is strong enough to carry the slower parts.
Yeah.
And for you who, again, you've got your All Japan blockage and you've got everything else. For you, the story of how everybody kind of interacts and the reasons and all that, that's not strong enough to sustain you through the cold bits through the middle.
And as we've said before, including on this show, I'm having to watch this stuff out of context.
Yeah.
You know, and all of the All Japan stuff in entirely the wrong order as to like how it's been voted for.
yeah, there is that.
So, I'm doing a jigsaw backwards underwater here.
Absolutely.
But there's a lot of stuff I like. And I've said before, like, I'm a big Kobashi fan. I like Kawada as well. You know, the pillars were the one who looked like the star, the grumpy one, the martial artist, and the one who was there apparently just because he looked like Baba. I really took to Fuchi in this match and him being a little prick.
Mm.
It's mostly, for me, it's just the length of the thing. Yeah. And there was good stuff within that extra half an hour, but you could have like pushed that into the first half of the match and then cut it off early, and I think everybody in that building still would have been very, very happy with this being 25-30 minutes instead of being 50 minutes. Mark, how'd you feel?
As I said, every time I tried to watch this match for the first time, I had to stop because jet lag was kicking my ass at the time. I mean, my flight home was 14 hours long. And I went from Japan to Alaska to get back to the UK.
Yes, because there's, as I said to you, there are various parts of the world going the other way that won't stop blowing each other up, which kind of changes the flight plan a bit.
Unfortunately.
Yes, very unfortunately.
I completely forgot about that being a thing in the sense of that's going to like affect people who are going nowhere near the region.
Yep.
So I was quite tired when trying to watch this, and I won't lie, my second watch was actually split up over three different, it was split up over 2 days and three different time points. That's not a criticism of the match. That's not me saying this is a boring match. I can 100% see why there is a good proportion of the internet wrestling fans that see this as one of the best six-man tags of all time. As Kieran said, there's so many elements here that I loved. I loved the interactions between all the different wrestlers. The personalities are on the show. Everyone's got a personality and a style that comes through, even if Misawa's personality is the fact that he doesn't really have one.
Green-tinged sex machine.
No.
That's not a personality. That's a character flaw.
It is Bruce Lee's Jeet Kune Do, the style of having no style. He is the personality of having no personality.
there's times where I am in love. I mean, this, I would argue this is the best Jumbo performance we've had so far on the podcast, because he is the perfect grumpy prick. And for me, every Japanese wrestler needs to have that grumpy prick phase. It's my favorite phase of Tenryu. There's just something about a Japanese wrestler that when they get over 40, they say, fuck it, I don't give a shit about that lad, I'm just going to give him a kicking. And that's more people like that. I'm really looking forward to Okada getting into grumpy prick mode, because he's already getting there in his mid-30s. So 40-50-year-old Okada will not only be good at it, but he will have knees, unlike 40-50-year-old Tanahashi, who does not. Fuchi is just incredible prick of a man. Just an absolute asshole and a glorious one at that. The way the match turns with the knee work, I do get Kieran's points. It goes a bit long. I get that. I'm not 100% sure if I'd say it's must-see. I'm probably tempted to say yes. I just think the work is incredibly good. The flow and structure feels more natural. I get what Kieran says, that there's two long workover periods really close together, but they feel quite different. Admittedly, during the second one, I think Tawei slows it down a bit because he's not enough of an asshole compared to Fuchi and Jumbo. But it's a really good match. It's a really great match. Also, it doesn't overstay its welcome on the finishing stretch. It feels very much like that stage of All Japan, whereas late 90s All Japan would veer into the excesses that would be exacerbated in modern pro wrestling, where you'd get matches that should have gone home 10 minutes early into a finishing stretch.
I did say to you before we started, spoiler alert, the finish is one of my favorite things. I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
There's a thing about Japanese tag matches, not just in All Japan, although they're the strongest exponent of it, where the difference between Western tags is the idea of a tag match is you don't just have to hit your big move and get it on the other guy. You have to hit your big move and your partners have to be clearing out your opponents to be able to get the pin. And that's not nearly as prevalent in the Western world as a style of tag match, because it follows the formula that Kieran talked about. Mm. So when you have a match like that over here, it tends to get a reaction in front of the right crowd in a good way, because it's not following the formula. There's a match on, I can't even remember the promotion now, of all people, Dean Ayers explained the idea of a Japanese tag match and how the teamwork is important on commentary on this match. And it was just the most incredible kind of, like, this is different to a regular tag match because they're Japanese, that, you know, some of them are Japanese wrestlers and others have wrestled in Japan for a while. So the style is different. Mm-hmm. It's not about isolating your opponent as much as it's just making sure that when you've got someone worn enough down to go for your finishing hold, your partner is also holding the other guy to stop it from being broken up, and that's an integral part.
I mean, when I think of All Japan tags, I think of the finish, which is two guys doing something in the middle of the ring and one partner holding the other partner basically against the apron, stopping them from getting in.
Yeah, exactly that. And that's the case for basically most tag matches that don't break down into just giant spot fests, and especially things like six-man tags, where they go longer because you've got so many more moving parts. It's harder to get that magic moment where everybody is being dealt with at the same time.
Yeah.
And you've also got somebody able to hit a move of such magnitude to get the pin.
Yeah.
And I think that's the reason for me why this match, with the people in it and the stories and the threads and everything, it's why it had to be as long as it was, or at least close to, because otherwise it would be very, I'm not going to say unrealistic, but it would be a bit convenient that they managed to get it done and just did in 20 minutes.
Sure. Okay.
with all the moving parts.
Yeah.
And I think that would get, I think the crowd would be a little, it wouldn't have its legendary status had it be shorter.
Sure. I do want to make the point that I did have a good time watching this match. I also had a long time watching this match.
Yeah, yeah.
I am presuming, Modge, that you are the cheerleader for this. You love this to bits.
I do love it to bits. It's out of the, this is my third appearance on this podcast. It's my least favorite of the three.
Right.
Okay.
I love it for all the basic, you guys have covered a lot of the reasons why I do like it. And I've just stated the reason why I don't feel the length is just them going on for the sake of it, why they, or how they could have cut time out. I think the length has made the match what it is. I do know in my research, which I didn't know about this, you've got, the commentator, gave two calls that have become famous.
Oh, really?
The Japanese equivalent of JR's. At the end of the match, he basically just says, this is not going to be exact, but he gives the date, the time, the venue, and then thank you.
Yes, he does. Right. Yeah.
He does. Yeah, that's a legendary call in Japan.
That's their version of, by God, he's broken in half.
Basically, yeah. And there's another one in there at about the point where they hit 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Where he says something along the lines of, I am blessed to be an announcer. Thank you, All Japan Pro Wrestling.
Yeah, he's definitely... we talked about commentators before. Is this one Akira Fukasawa? He's the one I know from All Japan.
No, this one's Kenji Wakabayashi, who is still doing things to this day.
Really?
Off and on.
Right.
Yeah. He, in my research, he does other sports as well, and
right,
things like news and whatever else.
Okay.
He worked for the TV network for years and years and years and years.
It's like in Memphis, Dave Brown also being the weatherman as well as being the wrestling commentator.
From what I can work out, it's a bit like John Motson commentating on wrestling.
Yeah, fine. Okay.
Right?
Yeah.
However, nowadays he also runs a school in where he teaches people how to be announcers.
Awesome. That's brilliant.
He's got, right, for like local TV, you know, for things like TV news, this is how to be a news reader. This is how to work a chat show on a sofa. This
right.
is how to be a talent on a game show. This is, and there's a whole sports curriculum about how you call different sports, including baseball. There is a lecture or semester or whatever you call it that is dedicated to how to call pro wrestling as a pro wrestling commentator.
Fantastic.
He does, you know, along with like soccer and athletics and everything else. There are videos of him. He sat with a trainee and they're playing a baseball game on the PS3, I think, with the commentary off. And they're having the computer simulator game and they have the trainee try to make it exciting by calling it. And then he takes over and does it, and you can immediately see the difference because it's the same voice.
Yeah.
From this, and he's doing baseball on a video game, and he injects so much life and verve into it.
It's like the Japanese new Legacy Inc.
Yeah, I'm very tempted to email to get someone to help me do an email so I can just ask if I can sit in on the pro wrestling section in the corner.
Yeah, I don't even have to understand a word of it.
No, I just want to see this happening.
Tremendous.
If I win the lottery on Saturday, that's what I'm doing.
Perfect.
And you know me enough by now that I actually would try that.
Yeah, you probably would. Anything else about this match before you jet off and do that?
Yeah, it's a really good match. Like I said, I much prefer the other two that we saw, but it's got a legendary status in Japan for the two calls.
Yeah.
Part of it with the fans, obviously there's the reaction from the fans that makes it as well. Maybe they weren't expecting a ton from this match based on the piss poor card that you talked about earlier.
Yeah.
And they're like, we've only paid 30,000 for these tickets, 3,000 I should say, for these tickets.
I wouldn't pay 30,000 for this.
No. They're gonna come in and give us some, like, you know, the minimum amount of pro wrestling you can expect for 3,000 yen.
Sure.
And then they're gonna say thank you, and we're all gonna be able to kind of like shout oh at Saruta, and then we're gonna go home. but they massively over-delivered on that promise.
Yeah.
I think that plays a part as well. It's being given, it's having your expectations managed and then blown out of the water.
Mm.
Yeah.
And again, I like lots of the the six-man tags on the undercards of later on All Japan shows and Noah shows, because you've got the characters of the wrestlers and the way they interplay off each other, and it doesn't matter if there's one guy who's obviously going to take the fall and one guy who's obviously going to get the win, because the joy is seeing how the different characters interact and how all the moving parts kind of line up at the end.
It's funny how you mention the one guy who's obviously going to take the fall. Both times I watched it, even though I knew the finish, I thought Fuchi was going to get pinned.
No. No, I think, again, that might be a misdirection. Because, it's not just he's lower on the totem pole than the rest of them, even though he's got a bit of seniority, but because he's a junior, junior out of...
Physically smaller going up against three heavyweights.
Yeah. And also the match, the only way he can do it, he can kick you in the knee with all his might, or he can wrap you up he can wrap your leg in the ropes while standing on your head at the same time.
Yes.
And that's the way he's able to kind of tread water in it.
Hmm.
And again, it's fun to see him cope that way.
Tremendous. This is 5 stars in the Observer, currently sits at 9.56 on Cage Match. If there is nothing else to add, I would very much like to thank Modge for coming on after what we were told was an extremely long day to talk about an extremely long match.
I had a long day, and then I did a long match. That makes me think I actually fucking worked the match, which I didn't. God, that'd be a sight, man.
Tell people where...
Like shit spraying all over the ring like some kind of...
Jesus Christ.
All right, we need to stop recording this. Tell everybody where you can be found if you want to be found and all that kind of thing.
You can find me if I haven't completely repelled you, but on Twitter.
Not that one.
No, I don't know. Elon Musk's wonderful hell site. Yep. I am at 3KidneysModge. I found a kidney in the street, put it in my pocket, and it's somehow stuck. I don't really do anything else other than occasionally post on Twitter. I recently went onto a fairly obscure comedy forum where I completely tore apart Graham Linehan's book because he's a and I hate him.
Congratulations for hitting the one word we don't use on this show.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, it's fine. Please, carry on.
Meet me.
I will.
If there's one person. So that's really what I've been doing. And I may have, massively salted the earth so nothing can ever grow again. But if I'm back, I'm just happy to get the opportunity to share my thoughts with everybody.
Tremendous. It is always fun and keeps me on my toes when you're on the show. And I mean,
that's what I'm for.
I can add that to pretty much every conversation we have ever had over like the 20 years of knowing each other.
Yeah. In a lot of ways, it's your own fault.
Yes. Yes. We have brought this upon ourselves. As for us, we are linktr.ee/mustymatches for all the ways subscribe, links to the full list of nominations and much more. You can go to @mustymatches on Twitter. Don't know where that is. Probably another Elon Musk hell site. Twitter, Instagram, Threads and Blue Sky. We also have a Discord, bit.ly/mustymatchesdiscord. You can come and have a chat on there. I am at Kieran Edits on Twitter, and Mark is
at monkey_buckles.
I need to plug one other thing. I have a new side project along with former guests and perhaps future guests, who knows, Eddie Sideburns and Andy Ogden. I am chronicling everything the Frontier Wrestling Alliance ever put on television. The show is called Nothing and Like It. You can go to linktr.ee/fwapod for the way to subscribe to that and to find the social for that and all that kind of thing. Next week, another match, another guest, but always us. So come back then and see what we've got and who we've got. Thank you very much for listening and goodbye.